Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the second day, Anno Domini 2021. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news first. Happy New Year.
Thank goodness 2020 is gone.
Yeah, well, not entirely gone because our transmitter is down. We're only on the internet and on YouTube. So if you're one who normally listens to us via the terrestrial airwaves, you may find that we are not there at the moment. But we are everywhere else. And, of course, the single most important thing for today,
Rumballs.
It's the Rumball Show. So call all your friends to be listening toward the end of the second hour. Things are going to get interesting. But at any rate, let's start with the news. As happens every new year, the end of the year is less interesting news-wise than normal. So this year I started, that's interesting. I seem to be missing page one. Is it in my bag?
Isn't it right there?
Under the rumble?
It's right there. I haven't even had a rumble yet. Jeez.
Whoa.
All right. So it's that time of year again. Amidst all the treat my body better, treat people better, improve my life resolutions, you should think about your digital life, too. I actually did this as my computer minute this week, too. Here are a couple of suggestions. Back up. We've been preaching this for years, and we still get people who come to us with dead hard drives and dead USB sticks and dead computers who have never backed up anything and have now lost precious photos of dead relatives or the only draft of the great American novel or whatever.
Yep.
Remember, you should have two backups at least, and one of them should be off-site. If you scroll down on the Soundbites website, you can search the post there on the right. Search for backup and look for the link entitled, "You Don't Have Enough Backups." It will link you to a page I put together with lots of choices of backing up. You have no excuse. Do it now. Use a password manager. We've talked about this. You don't have to remember a lot of passwords, just one. And let your password manager remember all the rest. EndPass, LastPass, Dashlane, and many others, including some built into your operating system or web browser, can do the hard work for you. And while we're at it, remember that every password should be unique, long, and complex. Complex simply means a combination of upper and lower case letters, numbers, and symbols. Long and unique can be handled by your password manager, and absolutely never use the same password on two different sites. Pay for your software. Seriously. We need people to continue writing good software, and paying a reasonable fee for it is always a good thing. Some, of course, are free, but many sites ask for donations or expect you to pay for apps or whatever. Do it. And finally, get off your device and interact with people more. These days, of course, you'll likely do that in video chatting through your device, but being in touch with people is important.
Yeah, I know.
So our poll of the week at soundbites.org is, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, New Year's resolutions. And your choices are back up, use a password manager, pay for my software, interact with people, all of the above, or other.
Okay, we'll hear the
and so far, we have 16 votes. All of the above is the number one choice. I'd like to see that. If, of course, you said other, please feel free to leave a comment in the forums, and doing that, the easy way to do that is, again, go to our website at soundbites.org And scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you will see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is two Jan 21 New Year's resolutions. And, of course, you can give us a call and tell us what resolutions we may have missed. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887.
One of the things I'd like to interject there, you know, if you wound up getting, say, some gift cards or that type of stuff for online stuff, some software that I would highly recommend you getting and paying for. I know there's a lot of, we recommend a lot of free stuff. But the big things right now, like Nick said, is we recommend, myself and Nick both use EnPass. Three others, though, that I really like and think you should support is Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes, and Revo Uninstaller. Right now, all three of them, you can still get the holiday specials, especially Revo Uninstaller right now. It even does, I think it's doing like 2 years coverage for $19, last I looked. So, you know, if you're going to do yourself a favor, you don't know what else to get those products, because then they will automatically keep your machine safe as far as doing the scans and everything else because you paid for it. Plus, it helps support good programmers and doing updates and keeping yourself safe. So those are my four recommendations.
And I'm going to add something to the password manager list. Most password managers will check on the leaked lists, usually from Have I Been Pwned, and will tell you if one of your passwords has been compromised.
Right.
Go into your password manager every now and then and look. We've had some customers where it says, you know, 265 passwords compromised. Because it's the same password on every single site they ever logged into.
And that's just not the smartest thing you can do, I'm afraid. The problem with that, of course, is if they get one, they get them all. So, you know, your bank maybe is secure, maybe. We know lots of banks have been broken into. But maybe your bank is secure. But if you use the same password on AOL, I guarantee you, mm-hmm. or Yahoo or Hotmail or Outlook, I guarantee you the bad guys have it. Absolutely guarantee.
Oh, yeah. That site you signed up for 10 years ago that you forgot about.
Right.
So
yeah.
Have I Been Pwned, if you want to go look yourself. But as I said, most password managers will look at that list for you and warn you if your passwords have been compromised.
Right. All right. So let's go to the phones. Our first caller is for the year. Our first caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Fred. What's up?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I guess you probably already know that there's nothing but dead airspace coming up on the radio.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned that at the top of the show, but of course nobody can hear it. The transmitter is down. They're working on it.
I can put a scrolling thing on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, 2020 is not done with us yet.
Okay, well, when you give me the answer, keep me on the line because that's the only way I'm going to be able to hear it.
Right.
I actually have two questions. One is I run a CNC machine and I transfer data from a PC to the CNC through a data transfer program. It's I actually have two versions or two instances of it on separate folders for two different machines because the settings are slightly different. But what I found recently, I got a new PC, desktop PC at work. It's a HP ProDesk, Intel Core, IS, 9th generation, Windows 10. And I'm using a USB to a USB 910 converter to RS, well, actually it's to Cat5 to RS232. Connector, and one of those two was just a little bit short when I put the new PC in, and I thought, well, I can use a USB extender, an extension cord, and that one seems to be getting dropped. It just acts like it's not plugged in.
How long of a distance are you going though?
3 feet. The adapter itself is less than 3 feet, and the extension cord is about 3 feet.
So a total of about 6 feet.
Yeah, less than six.
So,
and I unplug it and plug it back in, and it works fine for time. It may work fine for week, but then all of a sudden I go to do something and it's not responding. And you know, I get the application is not responding, but if I close it down, close that application, unplug the USB, plug it back in, start it back up, it's all good.
Is this with Windows 10, you said?
With Windows 10. So yeah. I'm wondering if it's the cord.
No, I don't think it's your cord. What I think it is it's in a timing issue. That the program is saying, are you still there? Are you still there? And it times out. That, you know, after so, I would have to check some of the settings in the program because I think because of Windows 10 especially likes to try to protect itself. And it's timing out on you.
Yeah, Windows.
I close the program out completely each time I use it.
Yeah, Windows 10 absolutely does have an issue dropping USB ports.
Only seems to be that one, though.
Yeah, it doesn't happen with all of them, and it's a driver issue. How old is the driver that you're using designed for Windows 10, or was it designed for Windows 7?
That I do not know. It's a Moxie converter.
Yeah, what you need to do is go to that manufacturer's website, whatever driver you're using, whether it's for the actual converter or for the final device or whatever. Go to that website and see if there's a specific driver for Windows 10. Because most of the time what we're seeing is that Windows 7 drivers can drop USB connections.
Did it work okay before you put the extension cord on?
Well, it was in a different machine, and yes, it did. It was, you know, it's two different. Like I say, the two almost identical. We might as well call them. They're identical hookups, except the one has an extension.
Right.
The software came bundled with a CNC editor program that I purchased. And the guy said, well, here, you can use this. And it's been working fine. I've been using it for well over a year.
Right. Was the old machine Windows 7?
Old machine was Windows 7.
Yep. That sounds like what the problem is. You need the Windows 10 driver.
Yep.
Windows 7 drivers, some work, some don't, some are flaky. Make contact with the manufacturer and get the right driver for your Windows 10 machine.
Because I contacted the company that I bought the cables from.
Nope, the company that made the driver that you're using.
Yep.
Right, I got that, but I'm saying that person told me that that USB adapter or extension, because I mostly only use it for charging.
No, they're just trying to get you off the phone and pass the buck.
Well, right. there is a possibility. I've had trouble with USB extension cords, but usually not 3 feet.
Yeah, I mean, if they were over 50 foot, maybe
there are some cords that are charging only, and there are some cords that are charging, you know, power and data.
Right.
And it's possible that you got one that doesn't have all the data lines because it's designed for charging only.
Yeah, but then it shouldn't work at all. Okay. Really.
Yeah. Then it wouldn't. Time out on them.
Look, at the very least, you can try another extension cable. Get one that is specifically for data. But I'm almost positive that your problem is you're using a Windows 7 driver on Windows 10.
I'll check both of those options.
Okie doke.
And then I have another question about a Kindle to a printer. My daughter has had a Kindle, and she was using it with a printer via Bluetooth. And then her Kindle died, and she got a new one, and now she can't get it to hook up with it. Say recognizes the printer, but when you go to print, it does nothing.
Is it Wi-Fi?
No, it's Bluetooth. From the Kindle to the printer is Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
Delete the pairing and repair it.
Does she also have Bluetooth speakers or headphones?
Yeah. But
yeah.
It recognizes the right one. It recognizes the pairing. Recognizes the device. It calls up that device. And it worked with the old Kindle, but now it doesn't work with the new Kindle.
It depends on what version it is.
Yeah.
Try this just as a test. Unpair the headphones.
Okay.
I was going to say delete them and have it refine them.
Right. Delete everything. And that unpair everything and then pair the printer and see if that works.
Okay.
Then pair the headphones and see if those work.
Okay.
That would be the next thing I would do.
Mm-hmm.
In that order. Printer first, okay. Then headphones.
Okay. Because the printer came last. And she was using it for a while. Doesn't do a lot of printing, so it was, you know, unplugged and sitting in the corner for most of its life so far. But it the Kindle that she had died, and I guess there's really nobody that does anything with fixing them.
Yeah, they're so cheap; it's easier just to replace them.
She learned a tough lesson about having things saved on the Kindle that she sure they had written down, but. You know, I'm just dead. I just listen to a crazy radio station. And
well, doesn't the Kindle data sync to your Amazon account? I know it does on my Kindle.
Yeah, it should be synced to her Amazon account, and she should be able at that point to download whatever she needs from there.
There were some passwords or something that she didn't that were not accessible. Some information that wasn't accessible, like, you know, names and addresses and stuff that, like, if she buys something, I don't know. I don't use it. I don't like the touch screen. Drives me crazy because every time I go to touch something, I end up getting the thing next to what I wanted.
Sure. But the fact is, if you set up your Kindle correctly, then everything you do in the Kindle is saved on Amazon's website. So even if you buy a new Kindle, as long as you log in with the same username and password, all your books come back to you.
Well, she uses it almost more like a laptop than a
Kindle. Well, with those other things, then you do have to do something to save them somewhere, yes.
Yeah.
Depends on which apps she's using to do
right,
it with.
Right, right.
Yeah. She can't download any apps unless there's something about being Amazon approved or something, but
right,
you know, she does internet, she does purchases over the internet with that device.
That should all be in all her email.
Yeah, that stuff. She might want to save copies and, you know, do it with a Gmail account, and then because she can save any receipts and all that up to her Google Drive if she signs into a Google account. And, you know, open up a doc and then paste in any information, and it'll save it up there for free and forever.
And if she's doing any documents on the internet, then they're saved under her internet account that she logged in with.
But she's also tried to do some work with, speaking of documents, try to update her resume, and it was.
Again, if she logs in, if she's going to use that like a you know, regular laptop, then she should sign into her Google account and go to Google Docs where she can create the resume, and it'll be saved no matter if it dies or, you know, gets stepped on or anything else. Because again, all she's got to do is sign in with her Google account, and it's there.
Okay.
And there is a free cloud storage for the
The Kindle
Fire. I know.
What program is she using to do her word processing? Because that's the program that you would tell it where to save the document.
That I'm not even sure.
Yeah, see.
Too many under answers.
Too many variables.
Yeah.
But depending on what she's using, she should be able to save it in the cloud. But Amazon does have...
Kindle Quick Office comes with the Kindle Fire.
Right.
And it would store on your Amazon account.
Right.
Okay. Then it may be stored and she doesn't know it?
That's certainly a possibility.
Okay. I can inquire about that.
Yep. Okie doke.
Well, give those things a try, and thank you so much for your help, and have a good new year, and hope you get back on the air soon.
Thanks, Brad. We appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yep. Yeah, for those of us listening on the stream, that's up, and I believe. And for those listening on...
YouTube is up now.
On the YouTube stream.
I don't know why it wasn't up a minute when we started, because I hit the stream button, and it said it was green. Everything was said it was streaming.
Oh, good, that it wasn't me, because I couldn't get the stream.
Yeah, I had to stop and restart it, and it's working now.
The basic idea here is that the stream, the terrestrial radio is down. The actual radio signal is down. We are still streaming over the internet, and we are still streaming via YouTube, but the transmitter, the radio transmitter itself is down.
Yeah, the actual radio signal itself is...
Yeah, we're not entirely sure why, because we're mushrooms in this little office. We don't nobody tells us anything.
That's above our pay grade.
Yeah, above zero is certainly above our pay grade. So at any rate, we know the transmitter's down because we have a red alarm light that's just twirling around. But as far as why or when it will be fixed or any of that, we simply do not know.
What we were told is Rob's working on it, and like anything else, it takes a little time to get some stuff done. It just doesn't magically happen.
Yep.
This too takes time.
Yeah.
Well, like we've said for a long time, you know, it's the same with computing, how folks have gotten so impatient. But if we were to dial them back to the old modem days... versus the internet of today, I guarantee you we'd be having a lot of folks threatening to commit suicide because it's taking too long. It's taking over a minute. Hey, we used to wait 5 minutes just to get connected sometimes get on into a bulletin board.
A lot of TV shows are still using the modem, you know, screech, screech, boing, boing noise to indicate you're connecting to the internet.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean...
That's my ringtone, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Screech, screech, boing, boing.
Screech, boing, boing. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I've had that... My daughter was over for the holidays, and she kept being amazed at how fast my internet connection is compared to hers. Hers is not slow, but it's not as fast as mine. And so she kept saying, there's something wrong. No, honey, it's just that fast. Oh, yeah, I forget. Yeah. I'm going to come over more often. Sure, honey. Not a problem.
Never say no to that.
Exactly. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to you in the next segment. Or you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887. It's Soundbites on Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Carl from Pottstown, PA on the line. How are things down in Pottstown this year, Carl?
Oh, they're doing pretty well. How about yourself? How are you doing?
We're doing just great, thanks. We have rum balls, and we haven't even started them yet.
Sounds good.
We're working on our technical issues.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I have a little problem I need your help with. Recently, I've been having a keyboard delay problem on my Windows 10 machine. I'll type something. Let's say it's an email I'm typing. I'll type a few keys. I won't see any letters on the screen. I sit back and wait a few seconds. Then the letters appear. But they don't always appear properly. Even though I might only hit a letter key once, the letter might appear twice on the screen. So there's the delay, but then there's also the error of appearing what I didn't actually type, because the letters are being doubled. So I looked into how to fix this using Google. It said turn off filter keys. Well, that's off. It said go into the settings and run the keyboard troubleshooter. I did that. It didn't find any problems. I ran the system file checker. One thing I did not do that it told me to do is update the keyboard driver. And so far, nothing has worked. And the problem doesn't occur all the time. I never know when it's going to happen.
Is this by any chance a wireless keyboard?
Yes, it is a wireless keyboard.
Batteries? Yes.
I haven't thought about that, but maybe I should try that.
We have run into a problem on the Mac community with the key travel on recent Macs is so short of a distance that a speck of dust under the key can prevent the key from going down, or it can, in essence, cause the key to repeat itself because it's pushing on the mechanism that starts the key typing. You might want to try some compressed gas and blow out any crumbs that might have gotten into it.
Yeah, but I would absolutely change that, change those batteries. Start there.
Okay, I think I already tried that in effect, even though I didn't change the batteries. Now it's coming back to me. About a week ago, I replaced the wireless keyboard with a wired keyboard, and it did the same thing. So,
All right.
Yeah.
Then if that's the case, then I would worry about your driver.
Yeah.
Although, how would that have changed? I would also worry about something going on in the background. Have you been looking at your background processes and seeing what's taking up your CPU?
Yeah, maybe some process is running wild and it can't respond as fast to the keyboard as it wants.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I should try that. I did look at it, but I forget exactly what it said. I'll look at it right now, and I'll let you know what it says. It says CPU usage 100. Oh no, it's dropping. It was 100%. Now it's down to 40%, but that's still kind of high.
You want to go to the process list and see which process is using the CPU.
The other thing is, oh man, when you see your process is at 100% and then suddenly it drops down, what that says to me is that you've got a virus.
Something noticed you looked at your processes and then shut itself down?
Exactly right. So my suggestion is dance the security tango, clean up your machine. It sounds like you've got something going on there.
Yeah, something's in there.
Okay, I'll give that a try. Let me see. Is there anything else? No, I guess that's about it. All right, thank you for the help.
All right, good luck and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's the answer I hate to give.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's the right answer. Generally speaking, you'll see that when you take a look at your process list or just at your task manager, if when you open it up it's at 100% and then suddenly it drops down, that's, as Steve said, something noticed you were looking and hid.
Now, it's okay for OBS to be taking up 172% of my CPU?
Yes, it is. Well, if you know you're running something powerful, that's a whole different story.
My broadcast program is using, I've got 4 cores and 8 threads, so it's...
Right, and that's the other thing, the black magic of what's actually...
Yeah, at 203 degrees Fahrenheit, that's the tricky bit.
That's the tricky bit. But for example, there is a thing in Unix called uptime. And it also tells you what the load is on your system. But if your load is at 1, that means you're using 100% of one core. If you've got 4 cores... or 8 cores, then you can go up to 8 before you start really bogging down.
I've got 3 numbers after load.
One is right now, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago.
8, 5, and 4.
There you go. So eight is, how many cores do you have?
4 cores with
that's
2 threads each.
With 2, so that's 8.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're full.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we did have a question come in. It says, question for Nick. What encryption, if any, do you use with pCloud and why?
That's a good question. PCloud does have its own encryption. I don't use it because I pre-encrypt. Okay, so
PI, pre-internet encryption.
Right, PI, pre-internet encryption. So I pre-encrypt all my stuff, so when it goes up to PCloud, it's already encrypted. But PCloud does offer an encryption service, which is very high-end and very good. So if you're not pre-encrypting, then you're using the PCloud encryption is probably a very good idea, certainly. Look, we've been saying this forever. Who do you trust? If you trust the people at PCloud, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you don't trust the people at PCloud, and honestly, why should you? You should either pre-encrypt or use their encryption, which happens at your machine and then is a pre-encryption of its own.
And PCloud offers client-side encryption, where it's encrypted before it gets to their server. They say zero knowledge. I'm trying to see their list to see who holds the key, because it's great if it's encrypted, but if they have a key,
yeah,
then they can
read
it.
They say zero knowledge, which implies you hold the key.
Yeah.
Implies, but...
Right. But that's why I pre-encrypt.
Yeah.
What program do you use to do that?
I wrote my own.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Was there any doubt?
1024 key, by the way.
So Windows has BitLocker, but I don't know if I trust Microsoft's
security.
What was the one that just went open source?
I don't know.
I'll find it.
Oh, one thing I had to do over the between Christmas and New Year's, this last fudging update to Windows.
Yeah.
I had to literally wipe my machine out. It got so slow, snails could run faster than the Windows machine was going. So I literally wiped it out, started fresh. And again, for me, it's no big deal because all my stuff is up on the cloud.
Right.
I mean, the only other program I use is the Quicken for that. So I installed that. Boom. I was up and running. But man, what a mess. And I totally trashed that because I hate Microsoft constantly using us as testers. And that's basically what we are. And it's like, you know what? Get away. I turned off any of the updates because, you know, I want to block them all. No, I want control of that.
Sure.
Veracrypt. Used to be TrueCrypt.
Oh, right. TrueCrypt. Right. I remember TrueCrypt.
And then Veracrypt is the open source, completely vetted version of it that has gone through all the security vetting to make sure it's really doing what it says it is.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's really good.
Right. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Good afternoon. I've got the same problem your prior caller had with the delayed typing. My own suspicion is that it's something to do with spell check.
Oh, interesting.
That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried turning off spell check and see if that speeds it up?
Well, I usually encounter this in Firefox browser. So, yes, I've tried to do that. And it doesn't happen all the time, so it's hard to troubleshoot something like that. But I haven't noticed it while spell check is off.
How interesting.
So maybe that's an issue with the hard drive. It's having trouble reading the dictionary file.
Well, spell check's got to go over the internet, doesn't it?
No.
Not necessarily. Depends on what spell checker you're using.
Well, yeah, most of them have the dictionaries are loaded on your local computer.
Right, so that they're faster.
Yeah.
Well, that was just my own little pet theory on that, but I do encounter it. It's probably not a virus because the machine that I'm seeing it on is not Windows.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So if it's Linux, I'll almost guarantee you it's a local copy of the dictionary. I don't know about Macs, but probably.
It could be just a corrupted dictionary, too, deleting it especially if you have your custom dictionary. Most of the word processors have their own built-in dictionary. And then you can make a custom dictionary of your specific words that you use that aren't in the main dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Add-ons.
Yeah, and I've sometimes seen where that local dictionary, your custom dictionary gets corrupted and delete it and then let it make a new one can help.
Hmm. Well, I just noticed that his description was exactly what I'm getting, and that was my pet theory on it.
Interesting. What operating system are you using?
Ubuntu.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely uses a local dictionary. Yeah. Interesting. What I didn't ask him is what program are you using?
Firefox.
So it's in Firefox, not in a word processor.
I very rarely use a word processor.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, that would be something to do with. Do me a favor, try it in Chrome.
I don't have Chrome installed.
Okay, well, I don't care. Usually they come with Dillo or something else installed. Try a different browser and see if you still have the same problem.
We've spoken before, and you know how much I hate Google.
No, I do understand that, but my point is you should try a different browser, whatever other browser you choose.
Yeah, because you can always install it and then uninstall it.
Right, that's true. But if you don't want to use Google, then try some other browser and see if you have the same issue. That will at least give you some ideas to whether or not it's a Firefox issue or it's an issue in your machine.
Interesting.
That's a way to troubleshoot. You know, get rid of as many variables as possible.
The whole thing's running in a VM anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd bring that up.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Interesting.
And it looks like Firefox has its own dictionaries, and you can load multiple dictionaries of different languages, but it doesn't say where those dictionaries are stored.
Right.
I would guess locally.
I would have to guess locally.
Yeah.
You could download, if you're adding a new dictionary, it probably downloads it from Firefox, but then it would store it locally.
Right.
It would just take too long to.
Well, that's the thing. Almost all of them use a local dictionary simply because of the time. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So if you just received the new iPhone 12 or any iPhone, an Apple Watch, iPad, iPod, if they even still sell those anymore, over the holidays. Or a Mac or whatever, you might not have gotten immediate satisfaction. Apple was having some iCloud issues. That is very likely the result of a large volume of people trying to set up or update iCloud accounts following the recent gift-giving season. The issue started early on Christmas Day, according to Apple's system status page. More than a day later, as of Saturday afternoon, the Apple system status page indicated that the issue, which is storage service, remained ongoing, but by last Saturday evening, the iCloud issue was marked as resolved. No specifics were given about how widespread the problem might have been, only that, and I quote, some users were affected.
Because Apple has a billion users, even a tiny fraction is a huge number.
It's a huge number of people. Apple also noted issues with Apple ID sign-in. In a Twitter reply later on Christmas Day, to the query of an Apple user looking to set up an iPad and a HomePod mini, Apple support acknowledged problems, saying the company was experiencing a high capacity at this time, which is impacting your ability to set up iCloud. The Apple support tweet said to please try back in a couple of hours. Look, the holidays are typically a busy time for device activations, as people unwrap gifts of phones, tablets, smartwatches, smart speakers, and other electronics and look to get them set up right away. But honestly, that's no excuse. Apple should certainly have had a fair idea of how many devices had been sold and beefed up their systems to prepare for the rush. I have to say, I always expect more of Apple than I do of other companies, and this time I'm quite disappointed. Did you have a problem registering a new device? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887.
We are back up on air.
Welcome back to everybody listening on the live terrestrial radio transmitted signal, and we're very pleased to be back online.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, boss. Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, did a yeoman's job and got the thing up and running. We're very pleased. Very pleased. Well done, Rob. Who knew you were even that good? Certainly none of us.
He'll get a big head and then think he's important.
He does try to remind us of that every now and then.
He does. Before we get much farther along.
Oh, there you go.
I believe it's time the New Year tradition, the holiday tradition anyway, somewhere along the line in the last couple weeks. It is time for a rumble. Those of you watching on the YouTube stream will see that I am about to indulge. Very, very exciting. I realize this is not great radio, but I don't care. It's delicious.
They've been fermenting for a while.
Yes. Yes, they clearly have. Wow. Good job.
Thank you.
Smooth. Very tasty. Dave, as you may know, brings in, I guess you can't call them baked because you don't.
No, you don't bake them at all.
Actually bake them, but makes rum balls. And every year he brings us rum balls, which I believe is the only reason my daughter comes to breakfast the next morning.
Oh, really?
She really asked about them last week.
There you go. And
especially upset when we didn't have a show last week.
Yeah, right.
What about the rum balls?
I did not. I set those, and I had to protect those because we sent some. All right, my wife has family out in the West Coast, out in Arizona, and her son is up in Minnesota. He's up Michigan, or I forget which state. But anyways, he calls and goes, "You got any more of those rum balls left?" We go, "Nope," because. Evidently, he went through them pretty fast because we set out, you know, a whole thing of cookies and everything else because, you know, I do up all kinds of cookies. And, of course, the rum balls are sort of the topper and that type of stuff. And he was looking for more. And Sandy goes, "Are these all spoken for?" I go, "Yep, don't touch them."
Yeah.
Because she was going, "Well, we could say no." No, these are going to the studio. They've already been promised. He got his. He's got to wait until next year. Oh, well.
That's right. Thank you so much, Dave, for protecting those. Our Chandra on the YouTube chat says you can take down the crawl now.
Okay.
That we're live again.
I didn't want to jinx it.
Yeah. we are back up. We are back on the air live. So certainly we'll be there for the second hour. So that's the, and you're right. It's 1, 5, and 15 minute intervals. I think I said 1, 5, and 10. It's for the load on your system. It's important to pay attention to things like this. And as we saw with, both Bob and with Carl, you need to understand the way your system works when it's healthy. So that you can tell when it isn't healthy. It's like driving your car. You're driving along and suddenly there's a noise. And does that noise get worse, go away? Does it change the way it drives?
There's a little yellow light on my dashboard that's been there for like a year. What should I do?
Tape. A little piece of tape. You're good.
Black tape over the flashing tape. 12, like
exactly
you used
right
to do.
Yeah. I actually found just the other day, I forgot that I have a clock that I have to actually change.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, we got the microwave and the stove and, you know, we got those. There was a little alarm clock in the parlor that is just a plain old.
Yep.
So we have a clock in there and I had forgotten to set that. So I was sitting there, looked at the clock and said, "Oh, my golly, it's late."
Yep.
And I thought, wait a minute, looked at my phone and said, oh, yeah, okay.
My clock radio in the bedroom messed up the date when I went to daylight savings time. So now it's a day behind. But none of the buttons work. So I can't, and it's about 14 minutes fast. And it gets a couple minutes faster every month.
Oh, interesting.
So I was planning, but I missed it, at midnight on the 1st to unplug it and plug it back in, because then it resets.
Right.
At midnight on 1-1. But, you know, we all were all caught up in our festive. We had a Zoom hog mini party.
Oh, nice.
Did you see the Scottish hog mini celebrations with the giant drone cloud?
No.
It was cool. They had drones lighting up and making shapes and spelling out words, and it was really good. If you have a chance, it's on. There's three parts on YouTube.
Yeah.
The Scottish Drone New Year.
Nice. Not, I'll check it out.
Finding different creative ways to celebrate it, that since we still all have to stay socially distant and not give up on we're close with the vaccines still coming any time now, you know.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. They're doing a million, what did they say, a million a day?
Yeah, and I read if you extrapolate that out, it'll take about 10 years to do everybody.
6 years. And so the idea is there's 330
million
people in America.
I mean, you're going to stop at night, right?
In America.
Yeah.
So it's going to take 330 days, do the math.
Mm-hmm.
And if
you keep going 24 hours a day.
If you can do 20, and they can't.
Yeah.
So extrapolating it out the way it has to be extrapolated out, you're going to end up with about 6 years before everybody's done. So Operation Warp Speed kind of ain't. If it took 6 years to get the Enterprise across the galaxy, that would be a problem.
Well, like they say, they just got to set up. And, you know, my hats still go off to all those folks that are at the hospitals working countless hours.
God bless each and every one of them. They are the real heroes.
Yeah,
here.
They're the folks that are, you know, working. Because I've got a niece, she's working double shifts and everything else. And, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, what they have to put up with.
I have a number of friends who are doctors and nurses.
The number of folks that are still dying to this day. I mean, we're losing more folks, you know, a day than we did in 9/11.
That's right.
And it's just sad. And, you know, we just got to hang tough, folks. I mean, we're glad we're able to come here to you live each week. But you know what? Still don't give up on your part and stay socially distanced. I mean, and wear the masks, wash the hands, everything else, and keep everybody, because you're not maybe doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for everybody else, to keep everybody else healthy, too.
Yeah, all these people are dying because most people don't want to be slightly inconvenienced by wearing a mask.
Right. I have to, for my work, because of the transportation I'm in, we literally have to wear a mask all the time. And sure, it fogs up my glasses all the time and everything else, and it can get frustrating at times, but you know what? It's my health and their health, and I'm trying to keep everybody else healthy, too. Because I don't want to be responsible for giving somebody the virus or...
When somebody who's my size says, oh, I can't wear a mask, it's terrible, I can't breathe, blah, 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 blah. And then I think of a friend of mine who weighs 98 pounds soaking wet. She's this tiny little thing. She wears a mask all day long while she performs surgery.
Yeah.
And I think,
Well, now that it's getting cold, you're probably wearing a scarf over your whole face all the time anyway.
So.
We got a anti-fog spray for your glasses. I tried this morning and it worked, but it was just, you know, one time, so who knows.
If you tuck your mask under your glasses, that helps. Works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I had to try that.
All right, we should probably take a break. What do you think?
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, since it's coming up to it.
Yeah.
I get so carried away here.
I know. We don't want to leave you folks. But we are going to do that for just a few minutes. We're going to take a slightly longer break. We've come to the end of our first hour of this show. But the second hour is going to feature being on the air. So that's going to be exciting. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 1 minute after the top of the hour, and you're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Text us at 585-205-8887. Vote in the poll. Give us a call. Give us a shout on the YouTube thing. There's a million ways to reach us. I'm going to have another rumble.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901 Jazz. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the first show of the second day of 2021.
And is this close enough for you, Rob?
Yeah. And before we get back to the phones, I do want to read this news item because we even had a text message about it. It is one of my news items. Many Spectrum customers who think they are still stuck with 100 up and 10 megabits down standard internet speed may have a pleasant surprise coming. If they reboot their modems, they may have gotten a free speed increase at the end of December. Customers in Rochester and the surrounding Finger Lakes region, Buffalo and parts of Western New York, and areas of Central Florida are all reporting their standard internet speed has doubled to 200 megabits up, but still just 10 megabits per second down. Charter Communications has already upgraded about 60% of their standard internet customers to 210. Upgrading the remaining 40% has apparently not been a priority. It's taken over a year and is still, as they euphemistically say, a work in progress. Charter has recently notified their customers that their rates are increasing $5 this month. This speed increase may be in part to placate those customers. Spectrum's other speed tiers, however, remain unchanged. How's your internet speed? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, my speeds have actually gone down.
Yeah.
And we've noticed that when we're doing our Soundbites Lounge, that my video quality is pretty choppy. I just had a thought now that I've had that cable modem for quite a while. Maybe it's time to replace it.
It might well be, and you can do that easily.
Yep.
Of course, I don't have a problem.
I keep waiting for the other internet provider to come in so I can get rid of that internet modem.
Yeah, exactly right. We're back to the lounge, by the way. We should do the lounge tomorrow night.
Yep.
And for you Ask Nick people, we'll be doing the lounge on Wednesday as well. So those will be back up and running. Thank you for your patience while I took a little time off, and we all took a little time off for that. But let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
So I have a Dell computer, and it has a 100 gigabyte solid state drive and I think a 1 terabyte normal hard drive. And the solid state drive is starting to fill up. And I see I have a user folder that has about 30 gigs of stuff together. Can I move some of that over to the D drive from the C drive?
Well, it depends on what's in the user folder. If it is, in fact, your regular user folder, that is to say with your desktop and your documents folder and all that stuff, then yes, you should be able to move all that over.
But then you have to tell Windows you've moved your user folder.
Right.
You'd be better off just taking some of the contents of those folders you don't use anymore, or as much, and move it to the other drive.
Okay, so I have it open here now. So this would be in App Data is where I would find most of
it. App Data you shouldn't touch. That's Microsoft's internal stuff.
Okay.
Is there a folder in there with your username in it?
Yeah. It's users detail. Yeah. I got it. So okay. I have that open, and the list is like 3D objects, app data, contact, desktop documents.
You've got your invisibles turned on, and so you're seeing the app data folder, the 3D objects folder, things that you not generally see. Because
the hidden stuff.
Right, because Windows is trying to protect them because they're necessary.
Sure.
But anything in the other folders, desktop documents, you know,
pictures.
If you
turn off hidden, you can pretty safely move anything like documents and all that stuff. You can move those over to there. Then it depends on what you use for your word processing, et cetera, et cetera. But let's say you use Microsoft Office.
Yep.
In Microsoft Office, in the settings, you can go say, where should you save stuff?
Oh, okay.
And then you can set it to the documents on your D folder. Now, of course, if you do backups, you got to make sure you're backing up your D drive.
Right, to save all that.
And by if you do backups, I mean you darn well better be doing backups.
Yeah, because all the programs should be just on your
C drive,
and then any other, you know, information, photos, and all that stuff, put that on the D drive because, you know, that's not used on a daily basis as opposed to your programs.
But the advantage is that the SSD is so much faster. You want to keep everything on the SSD. So your other option is to replace both the drives with an even bigger SSD.
Yeah, but the
SSD. Two SSDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to access, you know, a letter or a photo or that here and there, you're not going to be doing them all, especially if you've got, say, you know, 10,000 photos. To have those clogging up your SSD drive is kind of foolish for the number of times you might be accessing. Put it over on the D drive where you pull it in. Sure, the program to edit and all that, it's going to load quick. But then it goes over to the D drive and grabs the photo, or whether you're doing a document or anything else for your word processing. Have the word processing program on the SSD, but have it go over to your D drive to grab the actual document.
Okay. Very good. I think I can do this. I already have the pictures over there. I just hadn't put anything else over.
Yep. And then back it up to the cloud.
Again, please turn off hidden so that you do not accidentally move something that should not be moved.
So where do I find that?
Under view.
And then view options.
File options.
Yeah, and it should say something about hidden. See hidden or...
Yep.
Show hidden.
Uncheck that.
Uncheck it, yeah.
Hidden items, right. So uncheck hidden. There we go.
There you go.
Looks better. It's shorter now.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Thanks for your help.
Yep. Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye.
Although sometimes you do need to see those hidden files. I had a customer who had, what was it, like 600 or 700 gigabytes on their terabyte drive were runaway log files.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had to find them, find what was running away, and delete those log files. They thought they needed a bigger hard drive. We'll just delete this 700 gigs of log files.
Which you never look at anyway.
Yeah. Because they're in the hidden folder.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's nice to be able to view a hidden folder for when you need it, but most of the time it just annoys people. And I've seen people delete it because they don't need it.
Yeah, accidentally.
And then all of a sudden Windows doesn't work. Well, yeah, right.
Because people get click happy.
The other thing we see a lot of is iPhone backups. If you plug your iPhone into your computer, you can back it up to your computer. Well, that uses space on your computer. So you have a 64-gig iPhone. It's going to take 64 gigs of data.
Right.
And if you, over the years, if you've had several phones, we've had people's hard drives are filled with these backups that are 3, 4, 5, 10 years old.
Right.
And because now it's so much easier to back up to the cloud. But those backup files are still there unless you go delete them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Usually when the Apple has about this Mac, there's a thing that says other. That tells you, there's a storage tab that tells you how much storage you're using for different things. And there's one that says other, which is always huge. And that's usually what it is.
Yeah, right.
It's things that aren't pictures, they're not documents, they're not movies, they're other.
You're right.
Everything else.
The other stuff.
Well, to show how dumb Windows is, once I did the refresh install on my Windows machine, I kept getting this warning error. You're running out of space on your OneDrive. So I figured, huh? I went over to it. There wasn't a darn thing on it. I finally turned everything off and then removed it. It's like, you dumb thing.
Yeah.
Dumber than a bale of bricks.
Well, they would love for you to pay for more storage.
Well, Microsoft Office defaults to saving stuff on your OneDrive.
Right.
So if you just click save and okay, put it on your OneDrive.
Yeah, no, I throw everything to my Google Drive. Everything goes to Google Drive. And I'm not using that much space because I use the photos for the free photos. And all the documents that I use.
Yeah, see, you still have that because you're using a Pixel phone.
Yeah. Yep. And I...
that's my t-shirt today.
Any documents, spreadsheets, or anything else, I do on Google Docs. Sure. I have totally gone away from using any Microsoft Word processing and everything else. Matter of fact, that ticked me off because it actually did put on Office, I think it was because of the version. It was 2013 version. I went to open up one of my spreadsheets. It said, no, you're in protected view.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What? And I tried to get it out. I said, oh, the heck with this. I used Revo Uninstaller, got rid of it all, went back to Google Docs, opened it up. Everything works fine.
Yeah. I've got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of documents and pictures and stuff up on Google, and I'm only using 2.6 gig of my 19 gig.
Yeah.
It's like most of it's free space. Anyway, yeah. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Phil from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Phil. What's up?
Hi. Love your show, guys. I just had a quick question about switching over my, I believe it's a compact desktop that's about 10 years old, over to the Google Chrome from Windows 10 Edge. I'm inheriting this desktop from a relative who got a laptop, so I want to clean it out and put it on Chrome. Is that something I could do?
Yes and no. Here's the deal.
It depends.
It depends. I would. Okay, so you cannot put Chrome itself on it easily. There is a company called Neverware, N-E-V-E-R-W-A-R-E, Neverware, who has a product called Cloud Ready, and that essentially turns your Chromebook, turns your old laptop into a Chromebook. Now, there's two things about that. First, there's good news and bad news and good news. The good news is it works really well. The bad news is it may not work with a 10-year-old compact. I don't know. But I'll get to that in a minute. And the other bad news is right now it's not a full Chromebook. But the good news is Google just bought the company and they're turning Cloud Ready into a full Chromebook alternative. So, so here's the deal. What you need to do is go to neverware.com, I think it is.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, neverware.com.
And there's their hardware compatibility list.
Right. They have a hardware compatibility list that will tell you what hardware the Chromebook will work, what hardware Cloud Ready will work with. And you should go through that list and see what it has to say about that particular compact model. And you'd really want to go all the way down to the model, which should be on the back somewhere.
Yeah.
But going through the resources in order to...
I actually had to go into, I want to try Cloud Ready, and here's the things you have to do first. And one of them was check your hardware.
Right, right, right. So you definitely want to do that before you do much of anything else. And that will tell you whether that particular Chrome, that particular laptop can be turned into a Chromebook.
Yep.
I will tell you that I can't tell you about a 10-year-old.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
But I know some newer machines. I've done it to a Dell and a Toshiba and an HP and a couple of others. And when it's on that list, it works like a top. It isn't fully a Chromebook yet. There are a couple of things it doesn't do. For example, it doesn't run Android apps yet. And it doesn't run everything from the Chrome store, the web store, yet. But now that Now that Google has purchased Neverware, they say they are going to make it a full client, a full Chromebook alternative. So you will be able to do Android apps. You will be able to do the full web store. And in fact, they say that eventually you'll be able to run in, Windows apps as well. Now, again, on a 10-year-old machine, don't expect as much as you would on a 3-year-old, yeah, or even a 5-year-old machine. But you should be able to run something fairly well.
It does say you need at least 2 gigs of RAM and at least 16 gigs of storage.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So that's all that.
First to start.
Right. So as long as you've got those things, take a look at the list and see what you're able to do. So there are 3 versions, the Enterprise, Education, and Home version. And, of course, you'll want the Home version. One of the things you could do is definitely test your critical requirements. Is your device certified? Test your network compatibility, and all of those things. So, to install it, you just need an 8 gigabyte or larger USB stick, 20 minutes for the installer, and you're on your way.
Okay. You're still there? I have Spectrum right now for internet, and I'm changing the green light as soon as it's available in my area.
Yeah. Well, no, by checking your internet connection, they mean what actual radio do you have in your system, in the particular laptop you're talking about.
The Wi-Fi controller.
Right. What Wi-Fi controller do you have?
Right. Well, it's actually a desktop.
Okay, same thing, though. Okay. Or you're going to plug it in wired, and that's fine.
Yeah, I would love to plug it in wired if I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always had it that way until I moved, and now
I'd guess the Ethernet drivers
only have Wi-Fi access.
More common than Wi-Fi, yeah.
Okie doke.
All right, well, thank you very much for your information. I love your show.
Thanks. Good luck. Let us know how it works for you.
Well, I got your number. I'll be calling you back.
That's what we like to hear. Thanks, Phil.
Bye.
Yep. Yeah, lots of people are actually looking at the option of turning old laptops into Chromebooks.
Yep.
That, like I said, will become even more desirable and useful once Neverware is fully integrated into Google. Right now, like I said, there are a couple of things that don't work terrifically well, but those will be fixed as time goes on. All right, well, let's go back to the phones. We've got about 5 minutes to talk to Pat from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Well, I am actually starting off the new year fairly happy. I got a Toshiba Fire TV.
Oh, nice.
Controlled by Alexa. And after getting most of the things set up, I decided to try to figure out how to work with Alexa.
Call her Alaska so that we don't set off people's
devices.
Okay.
Yeah. So the A thing, yeah. I won't say it again because you'll remember it.
Yeah.
I can go from I should mention I have a satellite, DirecTV. If I'm on DirecTV, I can say the word and then say watch a Netflix show. But I can't. Haven't figured out yet how to get back to the satellite. For example, there's a show called The Kitchen on the Food Network.
Yeah.
And I tried, watch The Kitchen. And did you know The Kitchen is a movie?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, now again, I don't have a Fire TV, so I can't say quite how you do that, but you need to read the directions on how to get Alaska to also control the Fire TV. Should be doable because Fire TV is an Amazon thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. It should be just switching the input. You might have to say, switch to HDMI 1 to go back to the satellite connection.
Or switch to Fire TV.
Or switch to satellite or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I tried change satellite and it didn't recognize that, but I suppose I could try. Okay, the other thing is
I see a couple here. Switch to satellite or watch channel name on satellite or tune to channel number on satellite.
It sounds like your answer to the question I was getting ready to ask, which is if I wanted to find a place where they had some suggestions, what would I look for? What would I look at?
Steve will put a link to what he just found.
Okay.
It was just on TechHive. Let me find a generic.
Give him a few minutes. He'll get something up on the website.
Voice commands.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'll watch for it. And Great show as always, and I'm glad you're enjoying the Rumballs.
Oh, I'm looking forward to my second one. I'm pacing it's, myself, but I am looking forward to my second
one. Yeah, one an hour, so you can metabolize it.
That's exactly right.
Now, you have more control than I do. So.
Thanks, Pat.
That's why they let you on the radio and they don't let me. Only for 5 minutes at the end of the half hour. So.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I should probably have it now so that I can metabolize it before I drive home.
Yeah.
These are strong. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or 585-205-8887. We've got a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Okay, we have some text messages. First is from Fred, who had some questions about Ask Nick. I'll answer them in the context of telling other people what Ask Nick is, if you don't mind. Ask Nick is my weekly newsletter. Every generally Sunday, I publish the Ask Nick newsletter. This grew out of my newspaper column when the newspaper decided they no longer needed my services. I realized that people still needed my services.
They no longer wanted to pay for your services.
That's exactly what that was, but I didn't say that. Yeah. And the idea is that I started this newsletter. It is a subscription newsletter. You can read all about it at my website, asknick.com, and I put this out once a week. If you're and you do have to renew every year, so Fred, you may no longer be a member if you joined over a year ago. But if you are a member and you're not getting the newsletter, email me at nick@asknick.com and I'll check to see what the heck is going on, because you should be getting it. And for those of you who keep asking, look, I wanted this to be as easy as possible, so I never asked for a sign in or a password or any of that stuff. But now I'm finding that people want to look at the old newsletters and search things and all that yada yada. So I've actually got a list of all the old newsletters, but you can't get at them yet. So what I'm trying to figure out is the easiest way to get members to be able to get at it without anybody else getting at it. And I'm working on that. I promise you I am.
Takes time.
I also have about 670 or so questions and answers going all the way back through the old newsletters and through the old column and into the newsletters that are only mildly searchable. I'm not Google, and the search is not up to my standards yet. But I'm working on both of those things. So if you are a member, you will have both of those things available to you soon, I hope.
And you may want to check your junk or spam folder, just exactly, in case they're going in there. We hear that from a lot of people.
We hear that from a lot of people. Yeah. And if it is going into your junk or spam folder, then you can whitelist it. That is to say, this is not junk.
I had a customer that their son's email kept going into the trash, and they didn't know why. I made him a contact, a VIP, a favorite, you know, not junk. And finally, on one of her computers, I found a rule: if messages from this person, put it in the trash. I guess she was mad at him one day.
One day, apparently so.
Yeah.
All right. We had a text from Gloria. Should I get a Windows 10 machine or a Chromebook? And all I do is email and browsing. All right, Gloria. if for real, all you do is email and browsing, a Chromebook will do you just fine. If you do an email and browsing and, oh, some light gaming and write a few scripts in Python or whatever. Well, Python you could do it with, but if you use the Windows visual coding or whatever, then no. So it really depends on what you do. If all you do is web browsing and email, and your email program is accessible via the web and Yahoo, Hotmail, all of those, including Google Gmail, are all available via the web. Assuming those two things are true, then a Chromebook will more than suit your needs.
She also wanted to know any particular brand.
Any particular brand, yes. I will say this. I have owned numerous HPs. They are workhorses. You could forge horseshoes with them. They are as either an anvil or a hammer. They are amazing devices. I have had a Toshiba that lasted me quite a while, and I currently use an Asus and an HP, not simultaneously, one hand on each keyboard.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
That would be very television.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do use an Asus, and I like that very much. So many of the ones that are out there, what's important more than the brand of the laptop, of the Chromebook, two things. Three things. Nobody expects. The amount of RAM, the amount of storage space, and the warranty. So you want at least 8 gig of RAM. You want a minimum of 16 gig of storage, and 32 is much, much better. And in terms of the warranty, the longer the better. With many of them, you can pay an extra $20 or $30 or $40 or $50 and get an extended warranty for a couple more years. When it's something that you might carry around with you, yeah, it is a really good idea to get that extended warranty. It is a really good idea.
Especially if it covers damage, accidental damage.
Right.
We always joke about accidental damage. What if it's intentional?
Right.
Oh, we've had that. Yeah, people get mad at the computer and pound on the keyboard. I've literally had a customer one time smash the keyboard on a desktop, laptop.
We had faculty who were upset that somebody got a newer computer than them, so they would break their laptop so they'd have to get a new one, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At any rate, we have a third text, hacked by a Yahoo email that looked extremely legitimate. How do you verify a login? How do you... and they wanted Tim to verify the login. So the question they had was, how do you determine if it's a real or a fake email? Well, that's more of an art than it is a science. But there are several things, as Steve said.
The basic assumption is that they're all fake.
Yeah.
The good guys and legitimate companies can't put out very many messages like this because there's so many bad ones that you can't tell them apart. Sometimes if they tell you to click here to enter your credentials, that's an immediate red flag.
Right.
In most email programs, if you point to the link but don't click, it will pop up a little thing showing you the address that click is going to take you to. You had a customer last week that had an email from Chase Bank saying there's a problem with their bank, and I pointed to the link that said chase.com, and it said something, something, something dot, AU, Australia. So it was actually going to a different site. But basically, any of those messages are probably fake, and you should never click the link in the email if you think there's a problem or you're worried that there's a problem with your Yahoo account. Open your web browser and type yahoo.com yourself. Never rely on any links in email because they're probably fake. In fact, there was a big hack a few months ago. I think was it Garmin? I think there was a person was expecting a message from someone, and they were expecting it to have an attachment, and so they opened the attachment because everything came from the person it was supposed to. It had the attachment it was supposed to. Turned out someone in the middle had replaced the attachment with a malicious payload, and it cost Garmin like $60 million in fixes because it was a ransomware attack. So even when you're expecting an attachment, don't click the link because you can never be sure.
Yep.
Right. I was just looking up Fred to see if I did have him in my list of people. And at the moment, at least, I do not. So I'm not sure. Anyway, Fred, the other thing is, did you sign up for the newsletter or for the app? Because I also have an app, which is a very different thing from the newsletter.
Could be.
So could be either of those things. Who knows? Who knows? At any rate, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
When I called in 2 weeks ago, I asked you about upgrade speeds at Spectrum. Right after that, the next day, I called Spectrum, and lo and behold, they said, yeah, we can upgrade your neighborhood to 200 down and still 10 up, and it was free. I guess I was a little disappointed that they couldn't do anything with the up speed. The next tier up, and I don't know if it's available yet, is an extra $25 a month or something like that, which is something I'm probably not willing to pay for. But I don't have green light and probably won't have it for a while. So just wanted to say I do have it, and I'm just kind of disappointed that they couldn't do anything with the upload unless you go to the next tier. So I have it. I'm happier, if you will, with download, but still not as happy as I'd be if the upload was faster.
Right. No, I understand that. Most people don't really care about the upload.
Yeah,
until we're all doing video conferencing at home, then that needs upload.
Right.
Yep, and that's where I am with several things now. Also, my daughter sometimes does a church broadcast from the house on her computer, and since it's going to YouTube and to Facebook simultaneously, a little bit bigger hole would be nice.
Yep. Yeah, no, I absolutely understand.
Yeah, you'd think in these times that they would be, you know, a little more understanding.
They understand money.
Yeah. Right. Exactly, and it's all about the money. So I get that. Not exactly happy with it, but I don't know if I'm willing to pay that extra $25 a month when something else might be on the horizon. We'll have to wait and see.
Right, right, right.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. Just wanted to let you know how things turned out for me. And do good. I'm still a member. Going to continue to be one.
Thank you very much, Larry. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Larry.
You have a good New Year.
Yep, you too.
Yeah, it's in these times, internet access has really kind of stopped being a luxury.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, hold on.
And it is important in general to have that speed and that access as fast as possible. My daughter works distance, and there are days when she comes to our house to take advantage of green light and does her work from our house because she's got an awful lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And it happens so much faster on our network.
Yeah, but you just hate that every moment.
I hate that, having to sit next to her and watch her work and enjoy myself while she does. What a terrible thing it is.
Yeah. I've read
cheese and crackers.
I feel for you, but you know, I'm sitting.
Yeah. I've read a lot of stories about kids that may have gotten a laptop issued by their school, but they don't have good enough internet at home, and so you hear all these stories about them parking at fast food restaurants or malls or whatever outside in their car using the internet because that's the only way they can attend class.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's faster with the upload and download speeds.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, Happy New Year, gentlemen.
I knew it was going to be you.
You knew we're right. So a couple of days ago, a friend of mine sent me an email. He'd run across some old Microsoft Word documents. And I'll give you what I found out. They were made between 2003 and 2009. They were made on Windows XP. He's trying to open them on a Windows XP computer because that's what they were made on. But when he opens them, all he gets is the little squares.
Yeah.
Or he gets something that's just all dots.
Okay, let me... Okay, two things. Let me give you a secret. A secret.
Don't tell anybody.
When I was at RIT, we would often have faculty who would bring me corrupted Word documents. That happens so much more often than you might think. And they would be astonished when I would be able to retrieve 90%, 80%, 95% of their documents. And here's the secret. Now that I'm retired, I can tell people this. All I did was open it in LibreOffice.
Yes.
When Microsoft Office sees a corrupted file, it just gives up.
It chokes.
Or if it's a format, it doesn't recognize.
Yeah. If it's a format, it doesn't recognize. What LibreOffice does is say, look, I recognize this part, not this part, and I recognize this part. Let me just give you the parts I recognize, and we'll ignore the rest. So you get back much more of your document. So if you've got LibreOffice, try opening them with that. You could also try opening them with Google Docs, but I don't know if it does the same thing, because I've never tried that.
Okay, I know he's got Microsoft Office now. Can he install LibreOffice and not have it be the default?
Yes, the only thing you have to do is well, this is the hard part. Read every screen and understand what it's asking.
Don't get click happy.
Because it will at some point say, do you want this to be your default? And you have to say no.
Yep.
But as long as you do that, you're okay.
It's just like having multiple browsers. You're always asked when you're installing different browsers which one you want to be the default. You can have multiple word processors. Again, it's just taking the time to decide which one you want the default versus the one that
and
you might use.
And every once in a while, it may ask you if you should make it the default. Say no.
Yeah.
Just don't get click happy and you're fine.
Should he put those on a thumb drive and transfer them from the XP machine, or can he use LibreOffice on the XP machine?
He could, but he'll be a lot happier putting it on a different machine.
Okay.
Right. And oh, by the way, if you're going to put them on a thumb drive and move them over, before you actually open them, why not do a little antivirus checking on them? Just to be sure.
I will make that recommendation.
There you go.
Well, new year, second day, and you're helping already. What a team you got.
Unbelievable, aren't we?
You guys should get... I'm going to double your pay.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail. I get it. Been there.
Yeah. I couldn't find the zip code or the address, but it's in the mail.
It's in the mail. I just threw the zero amount check in the mailbox. Yeah.
Well, come on now. It's going to be at least a penny.
That is a significant increase over what we make now.
What a heck of a raise.
In terms of percentage, it's amazing. All right. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Have fun. That's the big secret. And it works with Word and Excel and PowerPoint. LibreOffice will open any of those documents, and it will do its best to give you the parts it recognizes. That may be more or less, depending on how corrupt it is, but it will do its best to do that.
And Microsoft Office has changed their internal file format several times over the decades. And for some silly reason, they've removed compatibility with their oldest formats.
Isn't that the stupidest thing?
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Jim. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I got a problem. I got an Epson printer on a Mac, and I can't get the fax function to work. I want to print something out and send it to a fax, but it won't... It won't send it as put it into the queue, the fax queue, and send it. I have a 4750 in another area of the house. I can't get a phone line to, but that one shows up as a fax. But my 4630 won't do it at all. I've tried to load the drivers. The utility.
Yeah, the print queue and the fax queue are two separate queues on the printers.
Right. Yeah.
And when you go into the system preferences to add a printer, The print queue shows up really fast. Quite frequently, you have to wait a minute for it to find the fax queue.
Oh, really?
And it will be listed below all of the printers. So the printers will be at the top of the list on the left, and then it will find any faxes at the bottom.
Okay, so they go into preferences.
System preferences, and then printers, and add a printer.
Okay.
And then just wait a minute to see if the print queue or the fax queue shows up as a separate device.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. It's not doing anything right now. Like I said, I still got the 4750 shows up as a fax queue, but I can't get the 4630 to do it.
Is faxing turned on in that printer, on the front panel of the printer? Maybe it's not set up for faxing.
Oh, it is, yeah. Because I'm already got a phone line already to the
printer. That doesn't matter. The first question is, can you send a fax by hand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that all hooked up. It's working great. If I just put it on the flatbed and scan it, it's fine. I just can't do it from my computer for some reason or another. And the other one downstairs, I can't. It's going to take me a little finagle to get a phone line to it right now. So
Have you thought about switching the printers?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. It's just not. This thing is not. Doing what I really wanted to do, I just can't keep beating my head against the wall on this thing. So,
right.
But what
system version are you running on the computer that you're trying to?
I'm running Mojave.
That's part of the problem. The drivers for the 4630 only support 10.9,
and
you're running 10.14.
All right.
It's such an old printer that the new drivers the drivers don't probably work with the OS you've got.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Hey, well, I got you on the line. Is it okay to move up to Catalina?
If all of your programs are compatible and they're all 64-bit, so you need to go to the manufacturer of each of your third-party programs and check that first.
Okay. All right.
Got to go. Thanks. I'm sorry for all the people we didn't get to. You got a call earlier next week. I apologize. And, Jim, I'm sorry we had to cut you off. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. It's a new year. It's a new us. We're going to be back next week. It's 55 minutes after the hour. We will see you next week on the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here in the truly great and truly grateful to you as we are member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours.